my fingers are tired from tapping. I don't know about you, but I enjoy that. I just love it when our young people do that kind of thing. That is so wonderful. First of all, I want to find out, in just a minute, we're going to make sure that everybody has got a copy of this gospel fold. But, in fact, if you do not have a copy of the gospel fold, just hold your hand up real high right now, and we'll just make sure that somebody brings you one of these. We want to make sure that everyone gets a gospel fold. You don't have to pay for it, so don't worry about it. Go ahead and raise your hand. We sell these in the bookstore for, I think, $99, so make sure you get one. We don't really sell them for $99, I confess. I just lie. But I'm not going to the altar, I just confess to you. So this is going to help you tonight. It really will help you to be a witness. And so I want to make sure that you get a copy of that. Every person ought to get a copy of this. Make sure you get one of these. The last couple of Sunday mornings, including this morning, we showed you a video of his church, My Home. Right now, we're going to show that again. See, why have you shown it so many times? Because I want everybody to see it. I want you to understand what it is that we're doing. I want you to understand that this church is not our church. This church is his church. But this church is our home. And I want you to focus on that. And we've had people who've not been able to see it because we have a lot of people that are here on Sunday night that are teaching in the back. And so we showed it at the 11 o'clock service this morning. We forgot to show it. I forgot to show it in the 9:30 service. So we'll show it next Sunday morning in the 9:30 service. But I want you to see, maybe you're in the back, or someplace else, and you haven't been able to see it, you'll be able to see it tonight. I hope you'll take to heart the message of this little video that was put together by Young Lemonstone. The point is this. We are his church. This is his church. We belong to him. And we need to stand for his church. We are his body. We are his representatives. If you and I don't represent Jesus Christ, then nobody in the world will. God ordained this church. This doesn't belong to you. This doesn't belong to me. This belongs to him. Can you say amen to that? And we need to be faithful. We but don't belong to ourselves. The Bible says we are bought with a price. We belong to him. And we need to allow him to work through us. God, throughout the centuries, established his church, built his church, and a place for us to call home. And so we'll watch this video, and then we'll get right into the lesson tonight. If you agree with that, say amen. We need to be what God wants us to be, and we are his representatives. Now look. The greatest way that we can represent him is to be witnesses. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28. And let's look at the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. To his disciples as he was about to go to heaven. Jesus established them as his body here on this earth. He established the church. He said, I will build my church. The church word church means a called out assembly. And he called them out. He assembled his church. He was the pastor of that church. They were his flock. He said, now I am leaving. And this body is going to go and sit on the right hand of God the Father. But you are going to be my body here on this earth. You're going to be my representatives here on this earth. And so I want you on this earth to do what I have been doing on this earth. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, I've come to preach the gospel. He quoted Isaiah, said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. Giving of sight to the blind, the releasing of prisoners. Jesus said, I've come to do that. That's what Jesus came in his physical body to do, to preach the gospel to the poor. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. And that's what we are to do as his body, as his church right now. That is our responsibility here and now. We are to do exactly what he did. When Jesus said, pray this way, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, let thy will be done in this earth, just like it's done in heaven. Listen, what he was saying was this. This is a, and by the way, that's a prayer that the church was to pray collectively. They said, teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, say these words. And he speaks not into the individual. He speaks in the plural. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He was speaking to them as a church. He was speaking to them as his body. He was saying, this is how you, as my body in this earth, should communicate to your Father. Father, give us this day our daily bread. He said, let your name be holy. His church needs to be holy. He said, pray that that his will would be done in this earthen vessel, this local church, this body, just like it's done in the body that sits or stands at the right hand of God. Understand, his physical body is in heaven. The Bible says seated. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Now we know he stands up and sits down because he stood up when Stephen was being stoned. His body was there at the right hand of God the Father. That's where his physical body is. His physical body in heaven does the will of God the Father. Does exactly what God the Father wants his physical body to do in heaven. And he said we ought to pray that we on this earth, as his physical body here on this earth, should do exactly what he should do his will, just like his body in heaven does. Understand that? That's a powerful prayer. Lord, let Liberty Baptist Church do on this earth exactly what you are doing in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Then once we pray that, it's in the center of God's will, then we need to say, Lord, give us this day everything we need to do your will. Give us what we need as your body on this earth, everything we need to do your will here on this earth, just like it's done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Lead us not into trials and temptations. Deliver us from satanic attack. Those things we are to pray as his body, as his body. Now, Jesus gives some last minute commandments to his body. And this is what he says. He's saying, now you're going to be representing me on this earth. He says in verse 18, Jesus said, Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power, that is all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I have power in heaven. I have power on earth. It's given to me. Now, he says then, go ye therefore. I am giving you that power. I'm giving you that authority. You go. He's speaking collectively to the church. He's speaking to the church. He's saying, you go, therefore, and you teach all nations. You spread. Go and start churches all around the world. Go, therefore, and teach all nations. Those who get saved, baptize them. As you're going, and people get saved, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Then teach them, disciple them, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What does that mean? You go out, you tell people how to get saved. Once they get saved, see that they get baptized, become members of the church, and then teach them how to go out and tell other people how to get saved, to get baptized, and become members of the church. He's saying to this church, listen, you go out as a church and win people to Christ and start other churches, and then you go out and establish that church, see they're saved and baptized and discipling, and then let them go out and do even more. It is God's commission. No Christian can ever say, hey, I don't have a responsibility to witness. That commission is given to the church. We are part of that church. We are part of his body. Therefore, witnessing is our responsibility. It is everyone's job. Can you say amen to that? That just, this is our home. This is his church. We are his church. We are his body. And we are to do what he tells us to do. And so he's told us to be witnesses. I was talking to the Lord this past week, maybe a week and a half ago. And I said, Lord, you know, as we were getting ready for the new year, I said, Lord, we have this past year. In 2010, we gave the gospel to 175,000 homes, recorded. I think there were more than that, but we recorded actually knocking on or mailing to or giving the gospel to, in some way, 175,000 homes. This year, we gave the gospel, I believe it's 205,000 homes, or maybe 200,000. Anyway, it's 200,000 plus homes. That's a wonderful thing. Can you say amen to that? That's what we're supposed to do that. There's twice in our history we've given the gospel to every single home in the city of Las Vegas. Now, since those times, we have helped plant churches all across Las Vegas. So we focus now on the northwest section of town. We don't send it to 625,000 homes that are in the Las Vegas Valley. We don't send it to everyone. We don't go out to every door. But we just focus on reaching the western half of the valley. We do it year after year after year after year. And I said to the Lord, you know, we've just been fishing and we've been fishing and we've been fishing and we've been giving the gospel out and we're seeing some people get saved. But God, I want to see an abundance of people get saved. We give out the gospel to 200,000 people or 200,000 homes. And by the way, you can multiply that by three. And that's the number of people that will see that tract that we give out. So over 600,000 people have an opportunity to be saved. And then besides our television and besides the radio and besides the internet and besides everything else that we do, God, we want to see. I don't want to just see mercy drops. I don't want to just see a few little sprinkles. I want revival. I want showers of blessings. If you want to see the showers of God's blessing, can you say amen to that? I want to see God do something great. And I said, now, God, we've gone out and we've given the gospel, and we've given the gospel, and we've given the gospel. We have, in essence, fished this pond over and over and over again. And God, I said, Lord, I want to see some results. And we're just going to do the same thing again this year. I said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And God reminded me of the story of the Apostle Peter, who came to shore and saw the Lord Jesus Christ and was coming to shore. And Jesus said to him, hey, have you caught anything? And they said, no, we fished all night and we've caught nothing. We fished all night. We've labored and labored and we haven't caught anything. And Jesus, who wasn't a fisherman, speaking to an expert fisherman, Peter may have done some things wrong. I like Peter. He may have done some things wrong, but he's the only guy in history that ever walked on water. Can you say amen to that? You say, well, he sank. Well, he walked. And I'm glad he walked. I'm glad that God can use somebody like Peter. Maybe somebody can use somebody like me. Maybe somebody can use somebody like you. Maybe God can use somebody like you. The fact of the matter is, he walked. Peter came that night and he said, oh, no, we haven't caught anything. And Jesus said, well, go ahead, go back out and throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Peter said, we've gone all night. We've fished all night. But at your word, we'll cast in the net. It's an amazing thing. Threw the net in the same water that he'd been fishing all night. And God, by the way, the Lord Jesus told him to throw in nets. And him, with his lack of faith, only threw in one net. And the Bible says that one net was so filled with fish, it broke the net. God is ready and willing to bless us, but we just have to be faithful to do what God wants us to do. And you say, what do you do if you fish and you fish and you fish and you just don't catch any fish? You keep on fishing. Can you say amen to that? I said, Lord, then this year when I go out door knocking, I want to see somebody saved. I'm going to go out door knocking again. I've been doing this for 34 years. I want to see somebody saved at the door. So yesterday I went out door knocking. And I went up to the first door. I knocked on the door. And the guy opened the door, looked a little drowsy. His name was Michael. And he said, hello. I said, hi, I'm Dave Tyson, the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, and this is my wife. And we're just out visiting people, just letting people know who we are. I'd like to leave this with you and like to invite you to visit with us at Liberty Baptist Church. He said, oh, thank you. I said, Michael. I said, what's your name? He said, Michael. I said, Michael. I said, anybody ever share with you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, no. I said, would you like to know from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, yeah. And I said, well, Michael, the Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says because we're sinners, we all deserve to go to hell. And I said, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh and that he came to this earth and he suffered and he died and he paid the penalty of our sin in our place. That he was buried and 3 days later he rose from the dead. He was seen by hundreds of people. And the Bible says that he went back to heaven after that. And the Bible says now if we just admit that we're sinners and we deserve to go to hell and that Jesus Christ died and we believe that he died for us, and we just say to Jesus, I know that you died for me, that you were buried and rose from the dead, and I believe that you're God, and you call on Jesus Christ, then right now you can know you're going to heaven just by receiving what Jesus Christ did for you. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, would you like me to lead you in a prayer right now and you can call on Jesus Christ? First door, new year, God, I've fished and I haven't been seeing much fish. And just go and do, cast in the net. First door, Michael said, I'd like to do that. And he bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Michael's on his way to heaven. I'm sure glad I threw in the net. Can you say amen to that? God is good. Michael's on his way to heaven now. And I've got all of his information. I'm going to email him. And he said, I'm looking forward to coming. Boy, he told me, he said, man, I go to church every single week. But he didn't know how to know for sure he was going to heaven. That is why it's so important that you and I be faithful to share the gospel. Now you say, well, preacher, I don't know how to share the gospel. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week. But I wanted to give you this tonight as an introduction. And this is not going to be very long tonight, but I want you to take a look at this. We prepared this for you because this is how I share the gospel with people. Now, you will hear people say a lot of different things about sharing the gospel and different things that they do. But I want you to know this is what we do here. This is how I lead people to Christ. And I've used this for years and years and years. And this is wonderful. We explain some things that other people don't necessarily explain because I grew up in Las Vegas. I went to church all my life, and there were certain things that I just did not understand. I did not understand that Jesus was the God of the Bible. I didn't understand that the Bible was the Word of God. I did not understand the difference between it and other books. I did believe that it was the Holy Bible and that God inspired it, but I didn't know what that meant. And so and I was confused and had, even after I received Christ, had doubts about my salvation. And so when I lead someone to Christ, I want them to be absolutely sure of what the Bible says. Now, several years ago, somebody said to me, Pastor, could you put together a tool that would just help us to be able to share the gospel with someone else without too much difficulty? And so we put this together. Now you can take a look at it with me. You, every one of you should have one of these. The front of it says you can know for sure you're going to heaven. How? There are five things that you must know and one thing that you must do. When we have a big day here at our church, you know that this is the exact message that I teach. And so this is placed in your hand. I like the way this is because of the fact that it unfolds and you can lead someone to Christ. Now, in order to show you how I do this, let me just have Pastor Shore up here. I always wanted to make sure of his salvation. Where are you, Pastor Shore? Pastor Shore is going to come up here, and I'm going to lead Pastor Shore to the Lord tonight, I'm just going to show you what I do. If you got a breath mint, I'm going to get close to you, and I don't want to kill you, so let me put one of these in my mouth. Pastor Shore faithfully hands me one of these every week. But you didn't do it today. So, anyway. You did one? Did you take one? Good, I'm sure glad. All right. Have a seat. People say, Pastor, I don't know how to go door to door. I would come out on soul winning visitation, but I don't know what to do. But I'm going to give you a couple examples of what takes place when you go door to door. All right. Most times when you're going door to door, in fact, my wife and I knocked on 82 doors yesterday. Out of those 82 doors, we probably talked to, and there were a lot of people we talked to yesterday, we probably talked to about 20 people. Most of the people just, they're not there, or they don't answer the door. They see a stranger at the door and they're not going to answer. So what do you do then? You just take one of the tracks and you slip it in the door, unless there's a sign there like we saw yesterday. Friends are welcome. Relatives are welcome, but if you're one of those church people passing stuff out from door to door, don't bother. We actually saw a sign like that. You say, what do you do with that? I say, oh, my heart is broken. Oh, I'll never be able to knock on another door. I've been embarrassed. I've been shunned. Listen, if there are 99 people that are nice and one person that's a jerk, why should I let a jerk stop me from doing that which is right? Can you say amen to that? Don't be afraid of people that are idiots. You don't have to. You drive by them all the time. If somebody is unkind, somebody's not nice, it shouldn't intimidate you. The fact of the matter is, you've got some good news. If you believe the truth of the gospel is good news, say amen.
Amen.
Then don't let somebody who is upset, somebody who's mad at God. By the way, if somebody put a sign on their door like that, they are either mad at God, they're running from God, and you don't need to talk to them anyway. You've just saved yourself time. It would be a waste of your time to knock on their door. And so so don't let that kind of thing happen. But if unless there's a sign that says no soliciting or a sign that says anything else, you just take that and you knock on the door. So let's the first door that you're going to knock on is somebody that's not there. So you look at and you stop. You sit, stand back. Nobody answers the door. You take your little track. You stick it right in the door and you walk away and you have fun talking to the person that you're with. And you go to the next door. Now, the next door, somebody answers. But when they answer that door, they're just going to be gracious and they're going to be nice. And they're just going to listen to you for a few minutes and you're going to walk. And then they're going to say thank you and shut the door. That's what that's what the next door is going to do, just in case you'd like to know. All right.
Oh, hi, may I help you?
Hi, my name's Dave Tice, and this is my wife, Anna, and I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, and we're just out introducing ourselves to people in the neighborhood, and we just wanted to stop by and give you something really good and invite you to visit with us sometime, and if there's anything we can ever do for you, just like to invite you to visit with us.
Thank you very much.
Okay, God bless. Thanks. Sometimes you don't even shake their hand. Sometimes you stick it through the door. Sometimes there's a big dog saying, "Roar," and you say, "Here." But it's just that simple. You say, "Well, what? That's not very effective." Oh, it's very effective. We've had hundreds of people come to this church because somebody who was nice and gracious, who didn't try to shove something down somebody's throat, just handed them a nice gospel tract. Anybody, I just want to find out, there may be one or two, anybody here tonight that came to this church because somebody knocked on their door and or just left a tract on their door? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's wonderful. Isn't that great? Now, they weren't just shoving things down their throat. People say, "Well, I thought you had to go in and you have to say and you have to come up with some really quick words to say and you need to be able to argue against a Catholic and a Mormon and a Jehovah Witness and I'll be able to." You don't have to do any of that. Let's try that one more time.
Oh, yes.
It's me again. Hi, my name's Dave Tice. I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. This is my wife, Anna, and we're just out in the neighborhood meeting people. And I wanted to get to know you, and I'd like to leave this with you and invite you to visit with us sometime.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay, good to meet you.
Maybe I will.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Right. Period. You say, "That just doesn't seem effective." It's more effective than nothing. Can you say amen to that? And that's what we do. I'm telling you the vast majority of the time. Now, there will be times, however, that God will touch your heart. And again, anybody can do that. Listen, let's all try that. Take your knuckles like this. I was going to say knock on the head next to you, but don't do that. Just do this. So you can do that. Now, say these words with me. Hi, my name is... And now say your name. Okay, there you go. Hi. Let's say it. You just say your name. Hi, my name is... Let's do it together. Hi, my name is... Good, good. See, we can all do that. It's very simple. And let's say, I'm from Liberty Baptist Church. Let's say it. I'm from Liberty Baptist Church. Now, we're going to say, we're just visiting in the neighborhood. Let's say that. We're just visiting in the neighborhood. And we'd like to leave you something good. And we'd like to leave you something good. That's pretty easy, isn't it? And you hand that to them. And most people don't say, get out of here. No. And if they do that, then they're a little weird. And you don't want to give it anyway. You may get something from them. And so just walk away. You say, is it really just that simple? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. You don't have to be Mr. Bold John the Baptist. You don't have to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You don't have to do that. You don't have to say, wait a minute, buddy. Today might be your last chance. Jesus could come tomorrow. You could go to hell. You don't have to do that. Now, if you want to do that, tell them you're from the Catholic Church. But give them our track. It's just that simple. Yesterday, there were 125 people that came out to go door to door. Invite people to come to church. And that's all they did. But God works. And we've done that year after year for 34 years. And we've seen people come to Christ. I like to watch that video because there's a clip of our very first service. And I can look in there and I think of two ladies in that very first service. One whose name was Vicky and another named Glenda. And they were sitting on the front row, and I can remember giving the gospel. After just going door to door, my wife and I knocked on 100 doors a day. We did that for 8 weeks, for 5 days a week. We knocked on doors and knocked on doors and knocked on doors. And our first service, we had 68 people show up for the services. And Vicky and Glenda both came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I like to think about that. That happened because people were going door to door. You say, well, that wasn't in style back then? No, it's never been in style. It's never been in style. Nobody. You say, well, Pastor, don't you just love going door to door? The truth is, no, I don't. I like to sit home and play my Wii. That's what I like to do. I like to be entertained. I like to read. I like to study. I like to do a lot of things, but I'm not necessarily getting up and going door to door. The older you get, the less you like to. But the fact of the matter is, that's what God told us to do. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. And so that's the very first thing. Just understand this. It's very simple. Hi, my name is Dave Tice. I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. And this is my wife, Anna. And we're just out introducing ourselves to people in the neighborhood. I'd like to give you something really good to read and invite you to visit with us sometime. Now, he's going to be a little grouchy right now. And he's going to say, I don't need any of your stuff. And I'll show you my response to that. Okay. He does that so good, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Dave Tice. I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. It's my wife, Anna, and we're just out in the neighborhood meeting people. And I'd like to give you something really good to read.
Well, is that you?
Yes, that's me. Good-looking picture, isn't it?
Looks thin.
That looks thin.
Was that Photoshop?
Okay, that's enough.
Okay. Yeah, what can I do for you?
We're just out visiting people and wanting to know.
No, thank you. That's okay. Goodbye.
Now, you know what I do in a situation like that? I leave. You say, that's all you do? Don't you try? No, you don't do anything. Look, there's a Jehovah Witness that's trying to shove something down his throat. There's a Mormon that's trying to shove something down his throat. There's a salesman that's trying to sell him a vacuum cleaner he doesn't need. There's I don't know, the Roto-Rooter man just may have been by. I don't know. Somebody's come by and they've been pushy and they've been shovey, and he doesn't need that from us. He doesn't need that from anyone. You say, well, if you just leave a track in his hand, is that enough? This tract tells people exactly how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. You're giving them a gospel. You're giving them an opportunity to, and that tract will speak a long time after you are gone. That tract will be there. They'll pick it up. It'll be on their coffee table. One day, when his wife is sick and in the hospital, one day when somebody passed away and he needs someone to do a funeral, one day when there is a major need, he'll remember there was a church that came by. Where is that thing they gave me? And they'll pick that up. You say, has that ever happened? Yes, it has. I took one of these one time. I was at a place called the Black Bear Restaurant. I went we were sitting eating. I got up, went to the restroom, had one of these in my pocket. And after using the restroom, I got up, I left one of these in the bathroom. That was on a Saturday night. The next morning, it was church, and we were having services. I'm back in the back, and I'm shaking hands with visitors. Somebody came up to me and said, some visitors came in. I said, how'd you hear about Liberty Baptist Church? I ask that question all the time. How'd you hear about Liberty Baptist Church? They said, it's the strangest thing. I said, well, what happened? They said, we were at a restaurant last night called the Black Bear. And we were talking about the fact that we really should get right and go to church. And we were talking, and my husband got up and said, I've got to go to the restroom. He got up and he went into the restroom. And in the restroom, and she pulled out a gospel tract, she said, he found this. And he came out and he said, God must want us to go to this church. God will use you if you'll just simply let him use you. And you don't have to be Mr. Eloquent. I know everything there is to know. I can do everything there is to do. You just very simply need a plan by which to share the gospel. Now, it is 5 minutes after 7. I've done all that as an introduction, and we're going to stop right there. I just want to encourage you, next week we will go step by step through this. You can know, go through this. So please do this. Don't give this out to anybody this week. Take this and stick it in your Bible right now. Forget about it till next week. Don't lose it. Put it in your Bible. Next Sunday evening, we will go through. I'll get up as soon as we're finished with singing. I'll get up and I'll lead Pastor Shore to the Lord. I hope. Hope Jesus doesn't come before then. And I'll lead Pastor Shore to the Lord. And then we'll take time practicing leading one another to Jesus Christ. And I think we'll have some fun doing that. And it'll be a help. It really will be a help to you. You can take, if you want to look through that and read through that, it's a very simple explanation of the gospel, but it'll help you. And I hope that you'll be back next Sunday evening for that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth and suffered and died. And thank you that you have planted us here as your church to represent you. I pray you'll help us to do what you want us to do. Help us to be the witnesses that you want us to be. Help us to be faithful to share the gospel. And I pray, Father, this tool that you've given to us, this simple little tool, will be a help to everyone here and everyone next week. Father, I pray that you'll not allow Satan to tell us that we can't do this. I pray that you'll take him away and his discouraging thoughts away and help us to just be positive about the fact that people need to hear the good news and we have it, and help us to share your truth with everyone we come in contact with. Use this evening's message and next evening, next Sunday evening. Father, just teach us and help us to be faithful to witness. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask a couple of questions. I've shared with you that we can know we're going to heaven. Maybe you're here and you don't know that. In fact, I'd like to find this out. If you've trusted Christ, you personally have called on Jesus, asked him to be your Lord and Savior and God, you know you're going to heaven because you've asked him to give you eternal life. You know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Would you slip up your hand as a testimony to that? I know that for sure. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here and you couldn't raise your hand. You honestly would say, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I can't remember ever personally asking Jesus to be my Savior. I can't remember having that personal conversation with him. And by an uplifted hand, you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I'd like to know that, but I don't. I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out, but I'd like to pray for you." If you're here and you're not sure you're going to heaven and you'd like to be sure, and you'd like to call on Jesus right now, you'd like to know you're going to heaven, you'd say, "Pray for me, preacher. Would you let me pray for you?" Anybody like that right now? "I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me." "Okay, I see that hand. I'll pray for you." Anybody else? "I do not know for sure. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Nobody's looking around. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you." Okay. And Christian, let me ask you this. Would you say to the Lord, "Lord, teach me how to be effective at witnessing, and I will witness." Would you just make that commitment to Christ? "Lord, teach me how to be effective at witnessing, and I will be a witness." Would you make that commitment to Christ? And if you'll make that commitment to Christ, would you slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm making that commitment. If I can be an effective witness, I'll be a witness." Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Put your hands down. Maybe you're here, you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized, and you haven't joined this church, and you have a decision about that. You'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I have a decision about being baptized or joining the church." Anybody like that? "God, I'd like to pray for you. Baptism won't save you. Church membership won't." Yeah, back in the back. I see that hand. Anybody else have a decision about baptism or church membership? Baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you. But God wants you to be part of His church, His family. And if you haven't done that, then tonight, when we have an invitation, in just a minute, you can step forward and someone will share with you from the Bible how you can become a member of this church and what God wants you to do. I hope you'll do what God wants you to do this evening. Let me say this.